All right. I wonder how some of you would have fared with something different, perhaps, from a marshmallow. Temptation is tenacious. It really is. And I know it may sound obvious, but temptation is also very tempting. Thus the word. And if we are honest, we would admit that far too often, we give in to temptation with our unbiblical and non-God-pleasing actions and attitudes. We give in far too often. And the topic of temptation was obviously one of importance to Jesus because he includes it in the Lord's Prayer. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 is where I'd like you to go in your Bibles with me this morning. 678, if you'd like to use your pew Bible, Matthew chapter 6. As we continue in the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to invite you to join me saying it together in just a moment. Matthew chapter 6, the first part of verse 9 says this, the words of Jesus. This then is how you should pray. And if you'd like to look on the screen with me so we're all saying the same words, that would be great. Let's say this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then verse 13, say it with me, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So in this final petition in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus reminds us of how prevalent and dangerous the lure of sin can be in a Christian's life. It really is a dangerous lure there. And before we look at this temptation petition in detail, there are two temptation questions I want to answer pretty quickly, but I think they're important questions that deserve our attention. Here's the first question. Does God lead us into temptation? And it's a valid question because the first part of that petition, we're asking the Father, lead us not into temptation. So some would say, well, does God actually lead us into temptation? And as we compare Scripture with Scripture, which is a good thing to do, the answer is no. God does not lead us into temptation. Let me share a verse with you from the book of James. James says this, when tempted, no one, and let's just say that for what it is, no one includes how many people? Everyone, all right? Sometimes we make excuses because we don't read the text. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So James is saying this, God never tries to bring us to the edge of sin and see if we'll jump off the cliff. Never. God seeks our holiness, not our failure. God delights in our sanctification, not in our sin. So God does not lead us into temptation. So what exactly is Jesus saying in the first part of this petition? I think Jesus is doing this. Jesus invites us to ask God to lead us away from our sinful desires. Asking God to lead us away from our sinful desires. Not that God is tempting us into sin, but we all understand. Let's all be just honest with each other this morning. We all have sinful desires in one way or another. And whether it's an attitude or an action, what we think, what we say, what we do, there are times when we don't please God, even as followers of Jesus Christ. I don't even need you to say amen to that because it's just true. And so we need to be praying on a regular basis. God, help me to stay away from my own sinful desires. Maybe you've heard it this way. Get out of your own way. Help me to stay out of my own way. Because I have a tendency to go there. Because God doesn't lead us into temptation. Here's the second question. What is the difference between temptation and testing? There is a difference. Well, temptation is an invitation to sin. So if you're facing something and you're not sure if it's a temptation or a testing, if you know that the result of doing what you're being tempted with becomes a sin, then it's a temptation. But testing is a little bit different. Testing is a difficult situation or circumstance orchestrated by God, intended to strengthen our faith and to deepen our spiritual maturity. So the difference here is when things are orchestrated in our life, when difficult circumstances or situations come into our life, they're meant by God to strengthen our faith and to deepen our spiritual maturity. They're not temptations to sin. Now, can we respond sinfully to those circumstances? Yes. The book of James reminds us again about the purpose of testing. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. I always consider this to be one of the humorous verses in the Bible. Consider it pure joy. Great, something good must be coming. My brothers and sisters, consider it pure joy. Have a party whenever you face trials. Come on, some of you just need to smile and lighten up this morning. Consider it pure joy when you face trials and testing. What's wrong with this? We get messed up when we think about, should we focus on the trial or what it produces? The joy comes from what it produces. Because he goes on to say, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, so let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So we should be okay with testing because testing produces maturity. And that's a huge difference from temptation. So those are two important questions that we need to make sure that we answer properly. Now back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So the Bible makes it clear that God tests us, but he never tempts us. So what should we do with this petition part of the model prayer? What should we do with this petition? I think it's important that we include this, even if we paraphrase it in different ways, when we pray, because there's some reasons behind why I think Jesus included this in the Lord's Prayer. Here's one particular reason why we should be praying this petition. Temptation is a daily threat to our walk with God, our relationship with others, and our testimony for Christ. I am not going to accuse any of you of sinning every day. I don't think you have to sin every day. But I think for most of us, if not all of us in this room, we're tempted every day. And based on the context and the pattern of the Lord's Prayer, I think Jesus intended this model to be used on a daily basis. Not necessarily the exact words, but on a daily basis. How often do you need daily bread? I mean, just, you can say it, it's okay. How often do you need daily bread? Daily, thank you. I love it when you're confident in your response. How often are you going to face temptation? Daily. How often do you need to pray, lead us not into temptation? How about daily? And so Jesus is saying it's really important that we do this because as Christians, we have the ability to resist temptation, but we will never become immune to it. We'll never become immune to temptation. So on a daily basis, we need to say, lead us not in temptation. Because temptation affects our relationship with God, our relationship with other people, and our testimony for Christ. I try not to think about this too much, but maybe I should. Any one day, I could ruin my testimony as the pastor of this church. Any one day. You know that. Daily, lead us not in temptation. Now, unless you feel sorry for me, you could on any day ruin your testimony for Christ. So each day, we need to pray, lead us not into temptation. Here's a second reason why this petition is important. Temptation is not something that we can battle in our own strength. It's not. Temptation is not like approaching a diet. I just need willpower. How's that going, by the way? That's not how we should be approaching temptation. In order to battle temptation, we need God's word, we need God's wisdom, we need God's power, and we need the Holy Spirit. All those things. I consider battling temptation a group effort. And we cannot do it on our own. In that petition, you notice these two words, and deliver us. That's a strong phrase. Deliver us means, God, there is no way I can do this on my own. Deliver means I'm in bondage. I need your help. You have to come rescue me. I cannot do this on my own. So we need to be reminded through this prayer on a daily basis, we can't battle this in our own strength. This petition is not a call for more willpower, but an acknowledgement of our dependence on God in our battle against temptation. We need every day to say, God, I need your help in battling this. Here's a third reason why this petition is really important. Satan strategically exploits our personal patterns of temptation at every opportunity. In some of your translations, not all of them, but in some of your translations, it says, and deliver us from the evil one. Some of you have a translation that ends with evil. Scholars would say the best translation would include that word one. Deliver us from Satan. And so I'm not saying that Satan is behind every single door that you walk through, but the Bible is clear about this. Satan is a lion seeking who he may devour. Christians. And who do lions prey upon? The weak. They look for the gazelle in the herd that's a little slow. Maybe not the three-legged one, but the one that can't run so fast. And knows exactly what to do. So here's how it works, folks. This is why we need to be praying. This is why it's really scary. Satan and his demons are well aware of your pattern of temptation. Your weaknesses. And they're not the same for everybody. Some people are extremely tempted by alcohol. And to the point where it's something where they struggle with and alcoholism and it becomes a domination in their life. I'm here to tell you, I came from an alcoholic home, and alcohol is the furthest thing from me. There has never been a temptation in my entire life for alcohol. I praise God for that, but it's just not there. But do I have other areas? Yes, I do. Yes, I do, and so do you. And guess who knows them? Satan, the roaring lion who says, okay, whoop, I know yours. I know yours. So Jesus is saying, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is what we should be praying. Instead of this general, God, keep me from temptation, we should be more specific. And this is why it's kind of like a personal prayer between you and God. It's not necessarily a great group prayer. Okay, you're not going to be saying a group prayer. And God, keep me from my lust. But if that's what you're dealing with in your private time, you need to say, God, deliver me from the evil one who is tempting me with my personal pattern of lust or greed or pride or apathy or complaining or whatever it is. You know what it is. Now, some of you look at me, does he know what? I don't know what yours is. Well, some of you I might know, but most of you I don't know. And can it change from day to day? Absolutely. Each Christian has a different pattern, but pray. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Pray that. And if you're not too sure, or you think, it doesn't really matter, just turn on one of those shows, those animal shows, and watch The Hunt. See if it doesn't matter that you're aware of the one who's chasing you. I think it matters. So these three reasons are really important for why we should be praying this petition, Matthew 6:13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's such depth to this. Now, I want to change gears just a little bit. On purpose, I wanted to spend just a shortened time on this verse, and I want to move to a biblical example of strategies to deal with temptation. You're going to face them. You are going to face temptation, probably today. So let's look at a biblical strategy on how to deal with temptation. Very practical. So if you have your Bibles or your pew Bibles, you're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 39. It's page 29 in your pew Bible, but Genesis chapter 39, I invite you to go there with me as we look at some strategies on how to deal with temptation. Because we need to understand this. Even though we depend on God to battle temptation and we need His strength, His Spirit, His power, His people, His Word, we also understand that we have some responsibility in this. You with me? We have some responsibility. And so we can't just say, God, lead me away from my sinful desires and deliver me from the evil one, but I'm just going to keep doing the same things I do that lead me into temptation. Or I'm going to do the same things that expose me to sin. That's not going to work. So let's look at the strategy here. Genesis 39. I love this story. Stay with me. You need to write these things down and be aware of these and use them in your life. I need to use them in my life to have a victorious Christian life. Can you have a victorious Christian life? Yes. Can you live a life that's pleasing to God? Can you become more mature? Some of you are not sure. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Genesis 39. When we arrive in Genesis 39, we find a guy named Joseph. He has been sold by his brothers. That would create a bad attitude right there. Sold by his brothers to slave traders, and he ends up far away in a country called Egypt. And he's sold to a powerful man named Potiphar. And he works for him. He's basically his slave. And in Genesis 39, here's some background, really important. We are told that Joseph is well-built and handsome. You have to just say it that way. He's well-built and handsome. He's ripped. He's cut. He's the Gold's Gym representative before there was a Gold's Gym. He is Planet Fitness. He's well-built and he's handsome. But it also says that Potiphar's wife has her eyes on him. So much so that she says to him, have sex with me. You're like, that's not in my Bible. Yes, it is. Come to bed with me. This is not a slumber party. She is seducing him and saying, man, I haven't had a slave like you in the house in a long time. We need to hook up. Come have sex with me. Temptation is staring or winking at him right in the face. You with me, folks? This is happening. And here's another thing you have to keep in mind. Joseph is far away from any family influence, far away from a support team, and he's most likely late teens, early 20s, fully hormonal. You with me? Come on! He is fully a young man, well-built and handsome. And this woman, we don't know what she looked like, but I don't know. She may have been pleasant. It doesn't really matter. She's like, I want you. What's he going to do? Look at verse 9. He refuses her advances and says this. No one is greater in this house than I am. Potiphar has put him in second in command of his house, just below Potiphar. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Here's the first strategy to dealing with temptation. Identify the temptation for what it really is. Identify the temptation for what it really is. I realize that temptation in and of itself is not sin, but we better make sure we understand that temptation leads to sin. I am convinced that Joseph realized that if he gave in to Potiphar's wife, it wasn't just going to be a mistake, a lack of good judgment, an unfortunate circumstance, or an unavoidable weak moment. No way. Joseph's like, this would be sin. How do we know this? Because he uses strong language when he says the action would be a wicked thing and sin against God. There is no room in Joseph's response for rationalization or situational ethics. I'm a single young guy. I'm working for this guy. I'm doing a good job. He'll never know. My family's not around. You know, I'm good looking. She's pretty. And she's coming on pretty strong. Oh, it's just the situation. No, who's going to really care? God will. And he realized that. That it would be sin. If you and I want to fight temptation, we better call what it leads to what it really is. You know what it is? Sin. Call it for what it is. Second strategy is found in verse 8. But Joseph refused. He said, with me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. Here's the second strategy. Rehearse the consequences of giving into the temptation. In verse 8, if you have it open in your Bibles, he says, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted in my care or to my care. Now, I know Joseph has said that he realizes that he'll be sinning against God. He realizes that's a consequence. But do you see what he says in verse 8? He's saying this to Potiphar's wife. Your husband trusts me. He's entrusted everything in this house to me except you. And what's going to happen if I give into this? What are going to be the consequences? One of the primary things is your husband is no longer going to trust me. I'm going to lose my reputation. All these things are going to happen. It is not worth it. And in his mind, he rehearses the consequences. Listen, our sin is never committed in a vacuum. It always has a ripple effect. Not just against God, but against other people. People are hurt, disillusioned, sometimes even convinced that a sinful life is okay. You know what sin is? Sin is disobedience to God. It's dishonoring God. That should be the number one consequence that keeps us from giving in to temptation. So we rehearse these things in our mind. The next time you are faced with temptation, ask yourself this question. Is it really worth the cost? Is it really worth the cost? Is that grade really worth the cheating? Is that promotion really worth the skimming? Is that relationship really worth jeopardizing your marriage? Is it really worth the cost? Here's a quote from Richard Sibbes. He says this, Satan gives Adam an apple and takes away paradise. Therefore, in all temptations, let us consider not what he or Satan offers, but what we shall lose. Considering what we lose is rehearsing the consequences. Many, many years ago, probably 20 plus years ago, I sat in a pastor's conference. And I was a youth pastor at that time, and I was sitting with a bunch of mainly senior or lead pastors. And I have to tell you that when the youth pastors went to those, we didn't always pay attention. We were considered like the younger brother to the senior pastors. So we just kind of goofed off. But I remember the speaker talking about temptation and about ministry. And he said, before you do something that will jeopardize your ministry, get out a piece of paper and write down the names of every single person you will hurt, disappoint in your life. Like, wow. Wow. Dealing with temptation, rehearse the consequences. Verse 10 gives us another strategy. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. This lady was persistent. Every day, because he worked in the house, I don't know this, I'm just elaborating. The eyelashes get longer every day, fluttering. Makeup's a little thicker. The smirk's a little smirkier. That's not a word. She's like, I know you said no yesterday, but I have new perfume on. Do you like my dress? You say, you're making that up. Well, maybe a little bit, but listen, she's asking him every single day. And I imagine she's probably changing it up a little bit. I know you were worried yesterday because my husband might come back, but he's out of town. Today's the day. Come on, Joseph. You're so good looking. He refuses. Here's the third strategy. Be persistent in refusing temptation. How often did Joseph refuse? Help me out here. How often? Every day. How often are we going to need to be persistent in resisting temptation? Every day. Kind of like give us this day our daily bread. Daily say, lead us not in temptation. And it may not be the same temptation, but it often can be. Each day there's going to be something coming. And each day we need to be persistent. And I will say to you, it's been my experience that persistence in resisting temptation doesn't necessarily reduce the occurrence of temptation, but it sure helps us to be stronger in resisting it. Absolutely. Absolutely. You may have to fight a battle more than once to win the war. Charles Spurgeon, that famous preacher, said this, "Learn to say no. It will be of more use to you than to be able to read Latin." No. Go to work. "Hey, you want to join me on this little project and I can make you some extra money? We just need to fix the number." No. Tuesday. "Hey, I know I asked you yesterday. Listen, here's the exact amount you're going to make if we work the..." No. Wednesday. "I brought you your favorite treat in. You want to come in with me on this little..." No. Thursday. "Listen, I'll even give you some of my stuff." No. Friday. Maybe they stop asking, or maybe they ask again. And on Friday, you say, "Oh, come on, folks. Half of you just gave in. You say no." Day after day. Verse 12 shows us another strategy. This is good stuff. This is good stuff from Joseph's life. "She caught him by the cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.'" She's reached her wit's end. "I've tried to talk him into it, but now he's just..." So instead of like, "Hey, come... you come embrace me, I'm going to go after you." So she caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Joseph realized that at that moment it was time to run. I call this an escape plan. And here's what I want you to know. Every single time we face temptation, God provides an escape plan. Every single time. Every single time. So you need to use the escape plan that God provides for you. I had no other choice, Pastor Jay. As kindly as I can say it to you and to me as a Christian, the answer is you're wrong. You had a way. We always have an escape plan. It's whether we use it or not. God always provides it. Sometimes it's harder than others. Group of coworkers are gathered in the lunchroom, and it's becoming the gossip session about the boss. What's your escape plan? You walk away. "That's where my lunch is." Get your lunch and walk away. "Hey, where are you going?" "Go and eat my lunch." They probably won't grab your cloak, but you walk away. When you're tempted to say that sinful thing against that person who's really harmed you, you decide to say nothing. That's the escape plan sometimes. When the ref is wrong, and boy, they're wrong often, and you're on the sideline as I am at times, I take a deep breath. I really do. Sometimes I just take a deep breath and I turn completely around and look into the woods. The boys on the bench that are there standing behind me, they look at me and they just know, he's just looking at the woods. That's my escape plan. You think that's important? I think it's important. It was really driven home to me one game when we had the referees and they had linesmen, the guys that worked the sidelines, and we meet them before the game. And I knew this one guy because I'd met him during the summer. And it was really scary because he's like, "Oh, yeah, I remember. You're Jay. Yeah, 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 you're the pastor, right?" Yep, I am. Mm-hmm. "Thank you. I'm the minister." "Yeah, okay. Oh, he's on my side. I'm going to have to really kind of take a deep breath if something happens." Escape plan. If you're being tempted to do or say or text something inappropriate to that person on your phone, delete their name. I'm telling you, that's the escape plan. "Well, what if I lose their contact forever?" So be it. "Oh, I never thought about that." Well, God's like, "Hello, here's the escape plan." If you're being tempted by your friends, especially those of you in school, I'm sorry, God might be saying, "Get some new ones. That's your escape plan. Get some different friends." If you're struggling with lust or other things, here's the escape plan. Install a filter. Get some counseling. Here we go. That's a stink bug. Goodbye. Oh, I should not have pointed that out. Now you're not going to look at it. Escape plan. Look at me. This. Don't be tempted. Here's, I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just saying these are practical things. Here's another escape plan when you're facing temptation. You might just need to phone a friend. I'm serious. Phone a friend and say, I just need to talk this through. Thinking about making this decision. Phone a godly friend and say, could you give me some advice? You with me? There's no excuse. No excuse. Jim Elliot said this. An unwillingness to accept God's way of escape from temptation frightens me what a rebel yet resides within. He's saying, when I don't choose God's escape, it frightens me how much of a rebel I am. I want to give you the four most dangerous words when it comes to temptation. I can handle it. Those are the four most dangerous words when battling temptation. We're just friends. It's only a text. We really need more money. And I'm willing to sacrifice my family at the altar of the dollar. We can handle it. I can handle it. Four most dangerous words when it comes to temptation. Last strategy, verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners would confine. Here's how the story goes. It doesn't have a good ending, at least not initially. She tries to grab the cloak. He runs away. She accuses him of rape. Her husband believes him. He gets sent to jail, falsely accused. Nice ending, right, for battling temptation? Thanks, God. I was really strong here, day after day, said no, now I'm in jail. And if you go on to read, you find out that he ends up in jail for 2 years. Every single day reminded of the fact that he's in there because he battled temptation. So here's the fifth strategy. Don't be swayed by the possible negative short-term results when fighting temptation. The Bible never says that right away you'll have automatically these joyful, positive feelings or results when you battle temptation. Sometimes the most immediate results will be negative at face value. You with me on this? So we have to be careful because we get caught up. We want immediate results, and if we realize that we won't always have immediate positive results, here's how it works. You choose not to copy that homework and cheat, you're going to get a lower grade. A lower grade. My GPA went down. Is that going to be a negative in your mind? Yes. But don't be swayed by that. If you end an unhealthy relationship, you may have other friends who no longer want to hang out with you. You say, I'm going to take a break from social media. People are like, fine. Not going to ever talk to you again. And they're not really talking to you anyways. You know what I mean? They're emailing you or texting you. You won't gossip. You won't give in to the gossip. Guess what? They're not going to talk to you anymore. I mean, they'll talk to you, but they're not going to share the stuff. And you're like, oh, no. They were my friends, and we spent time together, and they won't talk to me anymore. You won't compromise the numbers. Guess what you don't get? The promotion. And I could go on and on. You with me? It could go on and on that sometimes the immediate results seem to be negative, but don't be swayed by that. It goes on to say later on in Genesis 39 and then 40 that God was with Joseph and blessed him for his resistance even while he was in prison. And that's not going to fly with people unless there's a greater context. It's not going to fly to say, hey, you know what? Here's the deal. If you battle temptation, you might lose stuff. Oh, okay, thanks. Here's how John Piper puts it. Sin gets its power by persuading me to believe that I will be happier if I follow it. The power of all temptation is the prospect that it will make me happier. Don't do it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why is this part of the Lord's Prayer so important? I want to end this way. Some people would say that this part of the Lord's Prayer is important because it'll make us more moral or just better people. Okay. Some would say it's important because people will respect us or like us better. It'll keep us out of trouble. That's why some would say this is important. But I want you to understand this is why it's important to us. This petition is not driven by morality or behavior modification. This petition is driven by the gospel. If God has touched you with his grace, like he's touched me with his grace, I should want to please him with my life. That's what drives this petition. Not morality or behavior modification, but the gospel that has touched my life. And this petition also drives everything else in this prayer. In order for me to honor God's name, to seek his will to be done, his kingdom to come, to be content and to forgive, all those things will be challenged by one word, temptation. Temptation. I would say to you that on a regular basis, listen to me, we are tempted to honor our name over God's on a regular basis. We are tempted to seek our kingdom and our will to be done, if we're honest. We are tempted to complain about what we don't have and cease to be generous. And we also are tempted to be unforgiving in our spirit and hold grudges. So what do we need when that temptation comes with all the other parts of the prayer? This is what we need. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Why don't you stand with me? This is a challenge, folks. These strategies are helpful. It's a battle. It's a battle. But it's a battle worth fighting. Do you agree with me? It's a battle worth fighting. And so start your day praying. Part of your prayer should be, God, help me as I enter into this battle to please you with my life. Father, we know that temptation is really strong, but we're also thankful that your word says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It says also that we can submit to you and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So help us to take these promises, these strategies from your word, apply them so that we can live lives that are honoring to you, honoring your name, glorifying your purpose, seeking your will, loving people, being content, being forgiving, all to seek your glory. Give us that strength, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.